In 2025, roughly 18,000 humanoid robots rolled off global assembly lines.
Which is just a staggering number.
Right. I mean, if you had asked Western technology analysts just, you know, 2 years prior, they would have called that number a complete mathematical impossibility.
Absolutely impossible.
But the real shock wasn't just the volume, it was the origin. Because 90% of those highly complex two-legged machines came from a single country.
Yeah, mainland China.
Exactly. So today, we are doing a deep dive into a really fascinating translated text from early 2026. And it reveals how China took invisible artificial intelligence and turned it into this massive physical metal workforce in just over 2 years.
Yeah, we're basically decoding this heavily funded, highly coordinated approach. The translated text refers to it as a scale flooding strategy.
Scale flooding, I like that term.
It's very descriptive. It's this intricate look at the massive state machinery you need to take an emerging technology and just forcefully drag it into mass production.
Bypassing all those decades of slow commercialization we usually see.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, before we start breaking down all these blueprints, I do want to give you a quick heads up. Our source material today touches on some heavy stuff, geopolitics, the ongoing U.S.-China tech wars, demographic crises, and, you know, the raw mechanics of the state capital economic systems.
It gets pretty deep into the weeds.
It does. But we are stepping into this deep dive purely as impartial guides. Our goal is strictly to analyze the insights, the data, and the strategies detailed in the translation without taking any political sides. We are literally just looking at how the machine works.
Right. Impartial analysis only. And to set the stage for this, we have to look at a very stark global contrast as of mid-2026, because the West spent the better part of the last few years locked in these intense, albeit very necessary, philosophical debates.
Oh, totally. Like the congressional hearings about AI regulation.
Yeah, and massive public discussions about job displacement.
The software alignment problem, all of that.
Exactly. Meanwhile, the translation reveals that China kind of just bypassed much of that debate. They were quietly and forcefully moving humanoid robots out of the laboratory and directly onto the factory floor.
And the catalyst for this rapid deployment wasn't some massive encyclopedia of new laws either. It was actually remarkably concise.
Very concise.
Yeah, we were talking about a 9-page document from November 2023. It was released by the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, or the MIIT. And they called it the Guiding Opinions on Innovative Development of Humanoid Robots.
And what's fascinating here is just the raw bureaucratic weight of that specific title.
Right.
Because in the Chinese economic system, when a technology gets elevated to the level of a ministry's guiding opinion, it serves as this massive, unavoidable signal.
Like a green light for the whole economy.
Yeah, it means the entire machinery of the state, all its venture capital, university grants, local municipal resources, is about to align in that specific direction. The document made a really bold categorization too.
Yeah, explicitly labeling humanoid robots as a disruptive product, putting them on the exact same historical pedestal as the invention of the PC, the smartphone, and electric vehicles.
Which is huge.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because that categorization essentially acted as a massive financial alignment tool. It's like the government published a new dictionary and suddenly every single venture capitalist and local mayor had to use these exact words to get any funding.
That's a great way to put it. They standardized the language of development into three distinct anatomical parts.
Right. So first you have the brain, which refers to the multimodal large language models doing the high-level semantic reasoning and perception.
The thinking part.
Exactly. Then second is the cerebellum, which represents the complex algorithms handling real-time physical balance, gait control, and, you know, moving across chaotic terrain.
Keeping the robot from falling over.
Right. And finally, the limbs, encompassing the physical skeleton, the heavy-duty actuators, and those dexterous hands.
And defining those terms forced total alignment across a massive economy. Every VC evaluating a robotic startup, every university researcher applying for a government grant.
Every local mayor deciding where to put prime industrial real estate.
Yes. They all had to utilize that exact three-part framework. It became a strict financial mandate. I mean, if your startup's pitch deck didn't clearly define your advancement in the brain, cerebellum, or limbs, you simply did not get the funding.
Wow. And that mandate set an incredibly aggressive milestone for the year 2025, which was establishing a fully operational mass production system.
Which a lot of people doubted.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
A U.S. congressional advisory report back in 2024 took a hard look at this MIIT memo and largely dismissed it. They assumed mass production just meant, like, establishing theoretical factory capacity.
They didn't think actual functional humanoid robots would be rolling off the lines in any meaningful quantity.
Right. They viewed it as aspirational propaganda.
But the production numbers from early 2026 proved those skeptics entirely wrong. I mean, out of the 18,000 humanoid robots shipped globally in 2025, that 90% share from mainland China was driven by individual companies hitting monumental targets.
Just crazy numbers.
You had firms like Unitree shipping over 5,500 units on their own. Another startup, Agibot, hit a cumulative milestone of 10,000 units rolling off the assembly line by March 2026.
Okay, but if 90% of the world's humanoid robots are suddenly pouring out of these factories, the immediate question is, how on earth did they source the components?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right. To pump out that kind of volume so fast, they couldn't possibly be inventing and manufacturing every single servo and sensor from scratch. The tooling costs alone would take a decade to recoup.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, they didn't start from zero. They leveraged their massive pre-existing electric vehicle supply chains.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Right. Consider what an electric car actually is. It uses LiDAR and high-definition cameras to map the environment. It has complex battery management systems to distribute immense amounts of power safely, and it uses heavy-duty electric motors actuators to turn the wheels and manage steering.
And a humanoid robot requires those exact same three fundamental components to function.
Precisely.
They just had to completely change the shape of the casing.
Mm-hmm.
You put the LiDAR sensor inside a head unit instead of a front bumper. You pack the high-density battery into a chest cavity rather than spreading it across a floorboard.
And you repurpose those electric motors into knee and shoulder joints.
Wow. So by tapping directly into the manufacturing lines that were already churning out millions of EVs, they bypassed the steepest part of the manufacturing learning curve.
Which crushed the hard work costs.
Right.
The economies of scale meant a LiDAR unit that used to cost thousands of dollars now cost a few hundred.
But reconfiguring those EV supply chains for a new form factor still has to require a massive coordinated capital injection, right?
Oh, absolutely. The financial response to that initial MIIT memo was staggering. Major economic hubs like Beijing, Shanghai, and Shenzhen immediately formed what the domestic industry called the 10 billion yuan club.
10 billion yuan? That's intense.
Yeah, these were massive city-level investment funds dedicated exclusively to AI and robotics development.
The translated text notes that in 2025 alone, over 40 billion RMB was invested across 162 different deals.
Just a tidal wave of cash.
And it wasn't just state money fueling this either. Big tech giants like Tencent, Alibaba, and Baidu poured billions into unproven startups like Galbit and Roboterra. They viewed it as a, what did the text call it, a can't-fail game? Because the central government had already guaranteed the industry's ultimate importance.
Yeah, when a ministry explicitly signals that a sector is the chosen next-generation power play for the entire nation, the traditional risk profile just kind of vanishes for private investors.
Right.
The assumption is that the state will essentially backstop the industry, ensuring a return on investment regardless of early commercial failures.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. 40 billion RMB across over 160 deals in just 1 year. I am looking at these numbers, and it honestly just screams tech bubble to me.
It does sound like one.
Right. Is the translated text really claiming all these newly funded startups are building revolutionary cutting-edge robotics, or is a lot of this just a massive state-funded cash grab?
Well, the source text actually highlights the dark side of this top-down capital model in great detail. They use a highly specific term, subsidy hunters, to describe companies that exist almost entirely to farm these local government grants.
Subsidy hunters.
Okay.
So we're talking about hollow prototypes built just to impress a local mayor on a factory tour.
In many cases, yes. The text describes startups that literally copy-paste open-source movement code from international university labs, slap a sleek new plastic shell over cheap off-the-shelf motors, and just present the robot to local officials.
Just plain pretend, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah. But the rewards for this kind of technological theater are immense. A convincing prototype can secure free land for a factory, massive tax breaks, or local municipalities literally matching their R&D spending by 50%.
That dynamic has to completely warp the innovation cycle. I mean, if your primary business goal is just to grab a local subsidy before the funding dries up, you aren't going to invest in the grueling, decade-long foundational research required to actually build advanced algorithms.
No, you're just going to build something that looks good on camera today.
Exactly.
And it leads directly to a phenomenon the text identifies as Naiwan, which translates roughly to involution or hypercompetition.
Involution.
Yeah, so instead of pushing the technological frontier forward, it becomes this brutal race to the bottom on pricing. Startups engage in a relentless chicken game, assembling increasingly cheaper hardware configurations to undercut their domestic rivals and win local contracts.
So the physical hardware gets incredibly cheap and highly reliable because of that hypercompetition. But the actual intelligence of the machine really suffers.
Yeah.
The text clearly states that while China dominates the physical production, the integration of the brain and cerebellum, like getting that robot to actually navigate a chaotic, unpredictable environment with human-level reliability, still lags behind the absolute best global standards.
Right, because creating a cheap joint is easy.
But teaching a robot to recover its balance when someone bumps into it on a busy factory floor, that is incredibly difficult.
Which brings up a critical juncture in our analysis. If the central government is fully aware that this involution is happening,
right,
and they know billions are being wasted on these subsidy hunters building impressive plastic shells with mediocre software, what keeps the funding hose turned on full blast?
It's a great question. And the authors of the translation frame this not as some prestige innovation race, but as a dire existential necessity.
The demographics.
Yes, the answer lies in the 15th five-year plan, which covers the years 2026 to 2030. And a five-year plan in this system isn't just a suggestion box. It is the absolute binding macroeconomic roadmap for the nation.
Right. And two primary mandates sit at the absolute pinnacle of this new plan: scientific and technological self-reliance, and a concept termed new quality productive forces.
New quality productive forces.
Yeah. And that second phrase represents a massive necessary paradigm shift for their economy. China's historical economic miracle relied heavily on two endless resources: an infinite supply of cheap human labor and relentless real estate development.
But the state is formally acknowledging that era has permanently ended.
Exactly.
They have to boost total factor productivity. They need to generate vastly more economic output from significantly less input.
Yeah.
And the primary input they are running out of is humans.
Which sounds crazy, but it's true.
The demographic statistics in the text are staggering. As of 2024, 21.1% of China's population is over the age of 60. You look at a traditional manufacturing plant in 2026, and a huge chunk of the workforce is simply aged out.
The backbone of the world's factory is physically shrinking by the millions every year.
And the mathematics of that demographic cliff are brutal. You cannot simply replace missing human assembly line workers with traditional fixed robotic arms.
No, you can't, because a rigid, programmable robot arm bolted inside a safety cage is fantastic at welding a car door exactly the same way 10,000 times.
But it cannot navigate a cluttered hospital hallway to perform elder care.
Right. It cannot perform complex, unstructured assembly tasks that require a delicate touch and constant visual adaptation. They desperately need machines capable of operating in human spaces, what the text calls digital workers.
And here's where it gets really interesting for you listening, because this represents a profound philosophical divergence from what we're used to.
Absolutely.
In the West, we frequently view artificial intelligence as a looming threat to employment. We worry about mass layoffs. We hold hearings about job displacement. We debate universal basic income.
The robot taking your job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the text reveals that in China, AI is viewed as the absolute solution to a workforce that has already vanished. They are aggressively pushing a machine replaces human policy because they are quite literally running out of humans to keep their economy running.
And compounding this internal demographic panic is a severe external geopolitical reality.
The tech wars.
Yeah, ongoing U.S. sanctions on advanced AI software and the high-end semiconductor chips required to train these massive foundation models have severely restricted China's path in the purely digital realm. Developing the next generation of invisible cloud-based AI became significantly harder when access to the best compute was throttled.
So, blocking the software space, they pivoted hard to their absolute core strength, which is vertical integration and hardware manufacturing.
If you can't guarantee dominance over the invisible software algorithms, you pivot to monopolizing the physical bodies that the software must eventually inhabit to interact with the real world.
That is so smart. It is a deliberate, massive, strategic pivot to control the physical infrastructure of artificial intelligence.
Exactly. If a global AI race is bottlenecked by who has the most advanced compute, China's countermove is to flood the zone with the hardware, ensuring that whatever AI eventually wins the software race has to run on their physical chassis.
But controlling those physical bodies creates an immense engineering bottleneck.
Right.
Because if you want a robot to possess human-level reasoning, spatial awareness, and problem-solving skills, it requires a massive, compute-heavy AI brain.
Yeah.
You cannot physically pack a supercomputer into a 150-pound walking chassis. The payload limits simply don't allow it.
No, the physics of embodied AI are incredibly unforgiving. I mean, the battery pack required to power a massive internal processor would be far too heavy for the robot's legs to even support.
And the heat.
Oh, the thermal output generated by those processors would literally melt the internal wiring of the robot. Not to mention, the unit cost per robot would be astronomical, which completely defeats the goal of mass deployment.
So how do you solve the contradiction between needing massive intelligence and dealing with severe physical constraints? That is where the 15th five-year plan introduces this 2 trillion yuan strategy, cloud robotics.
And the ultimate vision here is brilliantly simple in theory, though incredibly difficult in execution.
Oh, walk me through it.
So the robot walking around the factory floor doesn't actually need to be a genius. The heavy, expensive, heat-generating brain, that massive foundation model doing the complex semantic reasoning, is entirely removed from the chassis. Hmm. The physical robot is stripped down to just the sensors, the cameras acting as eyes, the microphones as ears, and the limbs. The true brain lives miles away in a centralized, highly secure, state-owned data center.
Okay, so it is basically the exact same mechanism as cloud gaming.
Exactly.
When you play a massive, graphically intense video game on a cheap smart TV, the television's internal processor isn't actually rendering the complex 3D environments or calculating the physics.
No. A massive server farm hundreds of miles away is doing all the heavy computational lifting, and it simply streams the video feed to your screen in real time.
That is the perfect operational analogy. But instead of streaming a video game to a screen, they are streaming a giant AI brain directly into a metal worker in real time. The data center processes what the robot sees, decides what action to take, and streams the movement commands back to the robot's joints.
But for that to actually function in the physical world without catastrophic failure, you need near zero latency.
Right, because if the robot's foot catches on a loose cable, the cloud brain has to process the visual data of the trip, calculate the necessary balance adjustments, and send the movement commands to the actuators before the physical chassis hits the floor.
Which explains exactly why the National Development and Reform Commission, the NDRC, is spending 2 trillion RMB to build out a nationwide AI data center network.
That is a staggering amount of money.
It is. Their hard target for 2028 is to connect these regional data centers via advanced 5G and 6G networks, achieving a round-trip latency of just 1 millisecond.
1 millisecond. I mean, that is faster than human reaction time.
Much faster.
And they aim to blanket 75% of all urban areas with that 1 millisecond latency coverage. This is where that concept of scale flooding truly materializes.
Yeah, it goes far beyond assembling metal frames in a factory. It involves building the entire digital nervous system of a country for those robots to inhabit.
And local municipal governments are acting as the final puzzle piece here, issuing massive financial incentives to ensure that private companies plug directly into the specific state infrastructure.
It's a very unified push.
Yeah. The text outlines how the city of Shenzhen gives robotics startups compute vouchers. The government literally pays the massive GPU cloud computing bills so companies can afford to train their complex robotic algorithms on the state network.
And in Shanghai, they are offering corpus vouchers worth up to 5 million RMB a year.
Explain what a corpus is for the listener.
So a corpus is the massive data set required to train an AI. Millions of hours of video showing humans walking, grasping objects, balancing. The government is essentially purchasing the fundamental training data on behalf of these companies to accelerate their learning curves.
Meanwhile, Beijing constructed 1,000 physical robot training hubs located inside actual operating factories and hospitals.
Because those hubs are critical for what the industry calls sim-to-real transfer.
Right.
You can train a robot in a digital simulation for years, but it needs to encounter the unpredictable edge cases of the real world, like a dropped wrench or a slippery floor, to truly refine its cerebellum algorithms.
And the source text draws a very sharp contrast between this massive coordinated effort and the approach taken by a country like South Korea.
Yeah, South Korea possesses world-class technology, brilliant engineers, highly capable robots, but their development landscape is entirely fragmented.
Right, they utilize what you could call a boutique artisan approach, where every individual robotics company builds its own proprietary software stack and custom hardware from scratch.
Whereas China is utilizing a standardized, open-source chassis approach backed by a unified, incredibly well-funded national infrastructure.
It's completely different.
Yeah. Now, the top-down model absolutely produces significant waste, as the subsidy hunters and hollow prototypes clearly demonstrate. But the sheer momentum generated by aligning the nation's capital, manufacturing base, and digital infrastructure in a single, unwavering direction is undeniable.
Okay, so what does this all mean? Let's take a step back and look at the entire landscape we've covered today. Because the speed of this industrial transformation is just staggering. A single 9-page government memo in 2023 defined the industry language, triggering a 40 billion RMB tidal wave of capital. They repurposed existing electric vehicle supply chains to achieve mass production by 2025, completely defying Western expectations.
And skepticism.
Yeah. And now, driven by the stark mathematical reality of an aging population, they are pouring 2 trillion RMB into a 1-millisecond latency cloud brain network to control an army of digital workers by 2030.
And as you listen to this analysis, it is crucial to recognize that we aren't discussing science fiction drafted by a futurist predicting what might happen in 50 years. This is an active, heavily funded, operational economic strategy unfolding on factory floors right now.
Exactly. But the most revealing detail in the source text is their ultimate goal for the year 2027. The ambition isn't merely possessing the most advanced technology or the cheapest hardware. The stated objective is standard control.
Standard control.
Yeah. In early 2026, they officially released the Humanoid Robot Standards System. They intend to be the global rule maker, dictating the foundational standards for how these machines communicate, how they operate, and how they safely integrate into human society.
And establishing the universal standards creates a massive paradigm shift in technological reliance.
How so?
Well, if every robot on Earth uses the same fundamental architecture, the entity that designed that architecture holds immense leverage over the global supply chain.
Which leads us with a deeply provocative thought to ponder. If this scale flooding strategy succeeds, if China successfully sets the global standards and controls the underlying cloud infrastructure powering these machines, what happens when these highly affordable digital workers begin to be exported globally?
That's a huge shift.
When they're deployed to alleviate nursing shortages in European hospitals, or to man the assembly lines in South American manufacturing plants, or eventually taking care of the elderly in our own homes, the invisible code we used to worry about on our screens now has a physical body walking around our physical world. But the critical question is, who ultimately controls the brain when the robot is standing in your living room?
That is the definitive question that will shape the next decade of automation.
Something to mull over until next time. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.